For the first time this, and for the first time this 2025-26 season, I get to say, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to another edition of Restore the Floor, your Pistons slash NBA, mostly Pistons podcast. I'm Stoney, and he is the one, the only father of Frankie, yeah. Evan Jenkins. What's up?
Just ready for hoops to start again. When I saw all the media day from across the NBA hit my social media feeds, I was like, all right, it's time. Let's go.
Yes.
You were at Pistons Media Day.
Yeah, I was. Got to see most everybody speak because it was a little, I didn't have all day to sit, stay there, but it was
fun. You didn't watch Danius Jenkins talk?
No.
Oh, okay.
No.
What did you take away from Media Day and what everybody had to say? Was there like a common theme?
Yeah. I think that from, you know, from the players' point of view, from Cade, Beef Stew, Jaden Ivey, all of them really, they got a little bit of a chip on their shoulder because of what they went through last year in the playoffs. They believe that they could have, should have beaten the New York Knicks. There was no talk about the bad call or anything like that, but how much they learned and how much they got better. And the other thing that I got from that day at the Pistons facility is that they, and this is from management down, they really believe in what they have. And as you know, Trajan Langdon talked going into free agency about, you know, and I was the one who asked them, you know, Halliburton's hurt, he's out for the year, mm-hmm. Jason Tatum, Milwaukee doesn't seem to be as strong, and yada, yada, yada. Is this a time maybe to accelerate what you want to do, you know, free agent wise? And I asked him, and he said no. And then I asked him again today, or not today, excuse me, a few days ago, media day. You know, you basically stuck by your word. Were you tempted at all? And he said they did due diligence on some players. He wouldn't obviously say who they were.
No, because that's just setting yourself up for failure mentioning that.
Yeah, but I understand why, as much as we, and it would have been nice to get one player, you think, who could have been, you know, the Robin to Cade. They believe that they have what it takes for next year anyway. And personally, I think I understand it. They'll give it another year to see what they have with everybody, all the young players, and go from there. And it's not wrong. It's just we, you know, because we're very impatient. I understand what they want to do. They think that some of these guys are just going to get better and better and better.
Yeah, and I think that they believe that Jaden Ivey is that Batman to Cade's, or is Robin to Cade's Batman, and it may be rightfully so, but in the years that they've been playing together, they haven't really played together. And that's such a shame because, obviously, living in Big Ten country, we know what Jaden Ivey could do in mm-hmm. college. And then we saw him progress in his time with the NBA. The broken leg was very, very, very unfortunate. But I'm going to be super intrigued to see how he comes out and plays. I remember last year at Media Day, or maybe it was 2 years ago, but he had his notebook and he takes notes and does all of this stuff. And sometimes I feel for a player to really learn the game is to play it and then to sit there and watch the game and mm-hmm. to see what happens right or wrong or indifferent. And that's exactly the opportunity that he had. The thing that I didn't really need to hear from Media Day from what I saw was Beef Stew saying he would have played game 7. And I'm like, well, what's the difference in 2 days? If your knee was good enough in 2 days,
right.
I just don't need to hear that crap.
Yeah, well,
that's the only thing that I didn't need to hear.
I know. He was asked.
Understood. But, and he could have said, you know what? That's in the past. I'm worried about what's happening now.
Yeah.
When I saw that he said, well, I would have played, it's a matter of 2 days. Like, your knee wasn't going to get that much better in 2 days. I don't know. Anyway.
I agree with you. But, hey, he was out on the farm. You know?
Oh, yeah.
His family farm doing a lot of things.
He's a big dude. He's a different dude, too.
And you know
but.
What? This is going to be year 5 for him.
Yeah.
I believe. He's only 24 years old. People forget. Now, the sport is like that as well. But how young except for Tobias, and you know,
and Duncan Robinson, and the new guys, Caris LeVert.
Right, yeah. But the core of this team that you think is going to go forward, they're really, really young. And the other thing that I take away from not just Media Day, but just from reading, and I listen to some NBA podcasts, and people seem to believe that Ausar Thompson, he's the Robin. People think that any trade that would made, as long as you don't trade, obviously if you're getting an unbelievable superstar, yeah. But Ausar Thompson is as much as an untouchable on that team after Cade. Not Ivy, not Durin, not Ron Holland. It's Ausar. People think that he's just going to keep getting better and better because he had a complete offseason this time, and whether he'll be as good as his brother, who's going to – that remains to be seen. But everybody around this league and in the Pistons organization, it appears, thinks that Ausar Thompson's going to be – it's going to be a breakout year for him.
Yeah, and rightfully so. He's got every intangible that you could ever want out of an NBA player. The only thing that he's really missing is his shot.
Correct.
Which I feel like a basketball player, that's one thing that you can always learn and evolve to be able to do. It's the athleticism, height, all of that kind of stuff that is really God-given, and shooting is something that you can really, really work on. So hopefully that works. What I really liked hearing from him was talking about being on the floor at the same time with Ron Holland. Not only the fact that them playing together as two young athletic guys that have a ton of energy, just the fact that we're going to get to say from 9 to 5, because Ron Holland changed his number to 5, and Ausar was all happy about that, because now they can say from 9 to 5.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's a cool little nickname. It's kind of like when Michigan had Area 51.
Yeah, exactly.
So if you want to have a cool play on numbers, I think that's the greatest. Do you think that there's any plans for them to bring back Malik Beasley? In my personal opinion, I say absolutely not. With the culture you're trying to build, from everything I see, I don't think that's a guy you want around your younger guys. But if you follow social media, they seem to love Malik, and we're out in Greece with them.
Or the players, you mean?
Yeah, okay, like on vacation. So they might just be friendly.
They might be friends, but, you know, Trajan Langdon, now, I guess you could take this two ways, but I take it the same way you take it. He was asked about, you know, free, all this kind of stuff, and he mentioned, you know, we had a players under still investigating. He didn't even mention his name by name. So I take it that they're not going to bring him back.
I think if they were going to, they would have by now.
Yes.
And
I don't think the league, because the league is not finished.
No, the league opened up their investigation now. So that was on top of whatever New York General was doing. So I hate to say it, but a guy that owes money all over town, and I don't know, it just kind of...
He had some stuff before he got here, too.
Well, yeah, he kind of left his, you know, two-week-old baby to go with Larsa Pippen. Look up that story. That seems like a great guy. But I've also been the same guy that says you don't have to be a great guy
Correct.
For me to cheer you on as long as you produce.
Right.
But I think the playoffs really left a bad taste in people's mouths when it came to him. And as much as I don't really want to say it, but I kind of believe it, I think Duncan Robinson's going to fill in that spot perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like Malik was taking people off the dribble and getting to the rack all the time.
No.
Like, his game was that much different than Duncan Robinson.
Right.
And
all you want from Duncan Robinson is to be what he was.
Make like three threes a game, four threes a game.
That's it. Yeah, he's not going to start.
No, and he's not going to play defense. No. I mean, let's not expect that. I think I expect a little bit better version of Tim Hardaway Jr. and Caris LeVert this upcoming year. I mean, Tim Hardaway Jr. was a great player for the team last year.
Yeah.
I think he was a good glue vet that really kept everything together. I mean, in that one playoff game, he was unconscious.
I think LeVert actually is going to be the underrated one if he stays healthy.
That's what I'm saying.
His whole career has been like,
Remember that ankle injury he had?
Oh, God, it was
disgusting.
Because he runs the floor, he's got a decent outside shot, he plays defense.
He's bigger than you think. He's long?
Yeah, he's something that they need, you know. I don't give a shit where he went to school, to be quite honest. I don't think it makes a difference.
It always will to me, but
I know. I think he's a good player.
What about the rookie?
The rookie, who the hell knows?
Exactly, right? Because I guess in all reality and in theory, he's the replacement for Malik Beasley.
Yeah.
Their game is what's very, very, very similar.
Correct. And I forget who it was, which player, but maybe it was Duncan Robinson. I don't know. Somebody was mentioning Bobby Clinton. And I don't. I'm sorry. I don't expect anything they get from him is a bonus.
Yeah, I kind of agree with that. I mean, see what you want out of summer league and stuff, but I want to see what he can do on the floor against NBA players. Yeah, I'm going to hold my reservations on Mr. Klintman, and I understand he has all the athleticism in the world too, but a guy that usually spends most of his time in the G League is not a guy that you want to count on down the stretch in an NBA season.
Right. The other thing that I thought was really, really good that came out of Media Day, and I was going to ask this question, and I didn't because he kind of answered it in a weird way, and that's J.B. Bickerstaff. Because I was going to ask a question, you know, we always hear about the players, they're, you know, improving on their shot, they're improving, working out, improving on this, and I was going to ask him, what do you have to work on? But he, on his own, was answering somebody else's question, talked about the fact that he has to not get as many technical fouls. He said he didn't realize that coaches can get suspended for having a certain amount of technical fouls.
Oh, yeah, just it's like the same as the player.
Rashid, right?
Yeah, or so, Draymond.
Yeah, exactly. And because as we talked about this ad nauseum on the pod last year.
Pissed us off.
Yeah, it's like, come on, dude. And people who you know who like sit around the scorers table said nobody – no coach in the league gives crap to officials more than JB. And the other thing that I probably could have added to that, but we'll
yeah, he's coaching a game like he's in college.
Oh yeah, it's ridiculous. And the other thing he does that's wrong, and like, don't get me wrong, he was a very important part of the turnaround last year, if not maybe the most important part. He was him and Cade, and he was a great coach and could have gotten coach of the year, whatever. Atkinson got it, he deserved it too. But they have to figure out a way for him not to challenge calls early in games that are not, unless they're just so obvious that you get your challenge back.
Yeah, it's kind of like, so in baseball, you obviously have a little bit more time. Football, you have a little bit more time to see that replay. And in basketball, I feel like, A, you need a great dude that's sitting there that's able to rewind it and really look at it and give you a very conscious choice on whether or not it is challengeable. But there were so many times, you're right, especially in the playoffs, that in the first quarter, the first few minutes, you're challenging a possession, and it's like, dude, you're about to have like 60 more of these in a game. Like, let's just calm it down. 2 points in the first quarter of an NBA basketball game, really meaningless, right?
Exactly. I mean,
you could probably go and point, well, if that happened in the first, whatever. But I agree with you. I hope that they all learned, and it was something that you and I really, really hammered down, was how important the playoffs were going to be for the Pistons, win or lose, because of the experience that you gained, as well as that chip on the shoulder, as well as getting hungry in the summer to improve.
Yeah.
And I think that's the big question, is how much did they improve over the summer? And I think we'll see that early on. I don't think the East is what it was. I mean, obviously, it's different now.
Yes.
Injured players, injured stars across the league. So is there going to be a new king?
I don't know. Well, let's talk about some of the teams in the East. Not all of them, obviously. You know, last year's team that went to the NBA Finals, the Pacers. Halliburton's done.
Yeah, Miles Turner's gone.
And Miles Turner is gone as well.
I don't expect much out of them.
The Knicks, I think they added Yabusele, who I wanted here big time, and they added what, Jordan Clarkson as well.
Yeah, which is a great scoring option. The dude can score.
Yes.
Okay, he might be a little bit of a weirdo, but he can flat out score the basket.
The Celtics, no Tatum. They lose now.
I think they're still going to be a good team, but they won't be what they were.
And they don't have Horford either. He went to Golden State, I believe.
Just crazy that that guy's still getting
contracts.
And
they got Simons, who can score, but
yeah.
I'm not sure what else he does. Team of the, well, obviously Cleveland's going to be really good still.
Absolutely. That's the 1A team.
Yeah. But
Orlando is the team to me, too. That's the up and coming.
Yeah. Well, you got all their young guns. You got Banchero. You got Franz Wagner.
Jalen Suggs.
Jalen Suggs. And they add, and we're missing somebody, too. And they're adding Bane.
Oh, they got Desmond Bane.
And they added Bane.
And don't forget, Michigan State legend Jace Richardson was first round pick.
Yes.
I really, really, really like Orlando. I've been high on them in saying that that's the measuring stick for the Detroit Pistons. I think Paolo is a straight-up superstar in this league, but because he's a power forward, he probably doesn't get the love that some other dudes do get.
Mm-hmm.
But that's your measuring stick, in my opinion.
And what about the Atlanta Hawks? I mean, Trae Young, can people play with him? And they got, you know, they got him. They still got Dyson Daniels. But they added Porzingis, SGA's brother, Alexander Walker, and former Piston legend Luke Kennard.
And don't forget Michigan legend Caleb Houston's now on their team.
That's right. That's
right. It always blows my mind that guy came out when he did.
I know. It blows my mind that he's actually in the NBA. So, yeah. And Charlotte will be...
Charlotte's intriguing.
Charlotte's very
I mean, Brandon Miller, he's going to be in his third year. You got LaMelo Ball, who is, he's a star in this league, and he can flat out score. Miles Bridges is always a question mark, but when he's right, he's a damn good player.
Yep.
It's interesting. They're going to be interesting, but they could fall on their face super fast to start the year.
And, of course, the big enigma in the East is my hometown team. Who the hell knows?
Still trusting that process.
How many games is Embiid going to play? And McCain, okay, who was on his way to become Rookie of the Year probably until he got hurt.
Yeah, now he's benching like 7 pounds. Yeah. You see those photos?
Well, he screwed up his thumb. He severely sprained up his thumb. He's going to be out for a while again.
So the Sixers took promo photos, and he was sitting on a weight bench.
Uh-huh.
And for some reason, the bar had like 2 5-pound weights on it, and people are like, why is he bench pressing 45 pounds? Like, what is going on here? So that was kind of funny. But yeah,
and
I mean,
you don't know about Paul George, Maxie.
You do know about Paul George.
That's true.
There's one thing that's for sure is Paul George is Paul George, yeah. And you're going to get exactly that out of him. Some games where he's going to look like unbelievable, and then you're like, okay, and that's Paul George.
Yeah.
But Maxie, I think, is a great player.
He's a great player.
He really, really is. So I think this year is shaping up for an exciting, exciting year of basketball.
And I got one question for you.
Ooh.
Okay, ready for this?
I still don't like LeBron James.
No, I understand that. I was reading The Ringer, which is, you know, kind of a basketball-centric website.
Yeah,
you know, they have a lot of, they have everything in there. I like it. And there was a whole article today or yesterday where they talked about a certain player and his availability, and the perfect place for him would be the Detroit Pistons.
Hmm.
And that's Lauri Markkanen.
Yeah, we've heard it, but what are you going to give up to get him?
Now, here's my question. First of all, according to, I checked, he's under contract through 28-29 with salaries starting this year 46, 46, 49, and 53. He's 20, he's, I think, 29 years old, I think he is. Something like that. All right. Really good player. Really good player.
He's the stretch four that you need.
Yes. Here's what the question is. Would you, Trajan Jenkins?
He's 28. He'll be 29 in May.
All right, Evan. Evan Langdon.
Yeah.
Would you give up 2 first-round picks, Bobby Clintman, Tobias's expiring contract, and Jaden Ivey for Lauri Markkanen?
Done.
Yeah, me too.
And the reason I say that is because you saw what the team could do without Ivy. That's the biggest piece, obviously, that you're giving up.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're really successful, you're going to be drafting at the end of the first round regardless. So
right.
That guy, unless you get a diamond in the rough or something along those lines.
Let me ask you this. If they wanted Durin also, or Durin or Ivy, instead of Ivy, would you still make it?
Yes.
Yeah, so would I.
Because I do believe that there's 7-footers across the league that maybe don't have...
So you would add him, too. So it would be Ivy and Durin, would you do that?
Probably not both.
Yeah, me neither.
But one of the two, I would. I think both... Ivy is less replaceable than Durin, only because of Durin's skill set. If Durin all of a sudden comes in this year with a shot, it's a different story. But he's a big that plays by the basket. And in the NBA, those positions don't really matter anymore. And are double-doubles that attractive anymore in the NBA?
No.
I don't know. It's a question. I'd rather give up Ivy than Durin. But either or would be in change.
But the whole secret is Danny Ainge drives a tough bargain. So.
And rightfully so. He's only been involved in the NBA for probably longer than I've been alive in totality.
How many playoff games do you think Lauri Markkanen has participated in?
Well, he started with the Bulls, so that's a flat zero. And then he went to what? Cleveland. And I don't think that they probably zero.
Zero is correct.
Yeah, because he went Bulls, Cleveland, and then Utah, right?
Yeah, I don't even remember him with Cleveland. That's how
very like a. It was quick, wasn't it?
Yeah.
He was on Cleveland, wasn't he? Or am I going crazy?
He might be going crazy.
No. 100%.
You're probably right.
Let me look this up. Because
Immaculate Grid. By the way, I read one of our favorite games, Immaculate Grid. Somebody's trying to make it into a game show.
Really?
Yep.
See, that's something I would watch. Yeah, he went Bulls, Cavs, Jazz. He was only with the Cavs for 1 year. How did he get to the Cavs? In a three-team sign and trade with the Blazers. Yeah, it's weird that guys that are so valuable to other teams, but yet they've been moved that many times.
Right.
He was damn good with the Bulls, too.
He was really good.
The Bulls giving up on him was kind of crazy. But they have a new Markkanen in Mazzias Petulis, so
yeah.
People really love his upside. But Stone, yeah. I think when the season starts, we'll come to you every week.
Yep.
We'll have great guests.
We're going to have guests. We're going to have fun. And then, you know, sometimes if news breaks, stuff, and we'll do emergency pods and things like that. And we thank everybody for listening. A lot of people reached out. You know, when are you going to start? I said, when the season starts, we'll start.
Yeah, we're back.
So
there was not much this offseason, let's be honest.
No, absolutely not. You know, we're not going to get into the we're going to do a podcast on the Kawhi Leonard Clipper situation.
Which I still don't really get, but at the same time, I don't also have a problem with it. If you want to be shady with your money and how you pay a guy, who am I? I don't know. Hey, Tom, go do that. Get you some players, man.
I don't think we have to worry about Tom spending any money.
No, he has zero.
He'll spend.
And good for him. Yeah, I mean, you talk about a guy that was public enemy number one here in Detroit. Boy, has he changed people's opinions.
Yes, he has. All right, we will talk to you next week. See ya.